Hi, everybody, and welcome into the Racer Report Live. We are live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. I'm Jeff Bidwell on a Chamber of Commerce Monday here in Murray, Kentucky. Gray sky. Looks like we're still in Ohio. Gray skies everywhere. Hopefully the sun will be back out at some point. We got a full house today. Murray State men's basketball coach Ryan Miller will be with us after yesterday's 112-74 win over Northern State in an exhibition matchup. We'll also be joined by Murray State football coach Jody Wright. Racers with a rough Saturday in Eastern Ohio, 51-17, falling to Youngstown State. We'll look ahead to the matchup with Southern Illinois this weekend. And Murray State women's basketball coach Rochelle Turner will be here as well 1 week from today. The men will open up their season against Omaha, while the women will be at home playing an exhibition game against Trevecca. So we'll get into all of that. Crossover season is officially here, and we will break it down with all three of those fine folks coming up here on the program. Time now for your McBee Heating and Air Hot Topic of the Week, brought to you by McBee Heating and Air, your authorized Ream Pro partner, and it is homecoming week at Murray State. The Racers football team, Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m. Again, we'll take on Southern Illinois, and obviously always a great scene at Stewart Stadium on homecoming weekend. We've got Tent City. The parade will start at 9:30 in the morning, and then again, the kickoff at 4 p.m. for the football game. And then make sure you stick around to the end, as we've got a drone show post-game there at Stewart Stadium presented by CFSB. So it will be a great show, and hopefully the football team will put on a show as well against the Salukis and pick up that first win of the year. 4 p.m. kick at Stewart Stadium with football against SIU. And again, we'll get into that with Jody Wright coming up in just a few minutes. That's your McBee Heating and Air Hot Topic of the Week, brought to you by McBee Heating and Air, your authorized Ream Pro partner. When we come back, we will talk with Murray State men's basketball coach Ryan Miller, look back at yesterday's win in the exhibition game against Northern State, and look ahead to next Monday's season opener in the Field of 68 opening day marathon against the Mavericks of Omaha. We'll do that when we come back. We're live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. This is the Racer Report Live. Welcome back to the Racer Report Live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. Jeff Bidwell joined by Murray State men's basketball coach Ryan Miller. 112-74. Racers win their final exhibition game yesterday against the Division II Wolves of Northern State. Again, just what was it like yesterday, looking down and seeing the alma mater down there?
No, it was fun. I mean, anytime you get a chance to go into competition, especially a place that you know intimately well, like a place I played at Northern State, it was fun, you know, but the exhibition games are done and gone, and we need to have a good week of practice here leading up to our first game.
I'm sure you've looked at the film already from yesterday. What were the takeaways after the initial emotion sort of wore off from the game?
You know what? I was not real pleased, to be honest with you, with our defensive intensity, our on-ball defensive coverage. Some of our pick-and-roll coverages weren't great. I was pleased with some of it. Some individuals, Dylan Anderson, I thought was really good. Offense, defensively for us, I thought Lockie Craig came in and gave us a spark plug both defensively and on the glass. But overall, especially the first half, I thought the defensive end of the ball was struggling. But they do that a little bit to you, because they play five perimeter players and they put a lot of pressure on you, so you have to guard the basketball, and they put you in some uncomfortable positions defensively that you know, you don't cover all the time.
They won two games last year, and we were talking during the game. I was like, this team's going to win more than two games this year. They had a pace to them a little bit that about them that it was like that it felt like a pretty good test for you guys defensively.
Yeah, traditionally they've been one of the best Division II teams in the country. I think they won a national championship like 4 or 5 years ago. They made a move on the head coach this past season, hired Coach Wilbur, who was a WNBA assistant coach for Nate Tibbetts of the Phoenix Mercury. So they're going to be well coached. They're going to know what they're going to do. They're going to have an attention to detail. They're going to have a good identity both offensively and defensively, which they do. And they're going to have I don't know how good a year, but they'll have a better year than last year.
The concern, at least for me, leaving the floor last night, was Fred King and his health. He walked by us on press row. He kind of winked. He was like, I'll be fine. Any updates on his health this week?
No updates right now. It was a unique play. I watched it on film. He went up for a rebound, and he kind of got boxed out and got his leg caught up on a Northern State's player's shoulder. So it kind of looked like it got hyperextended to a certain degree a little bit. But, The concern is when you have a knee injury that is non-contact. Those are the ones where you get in trouble. And it was a contact knee injury, so he's getting evaluated by UFRED and some doctors today. So hold him out of practice today. We'll see how it goes and this week.
It's not often you get someone that injures their knee hitting someone's shoulder. So I guess that's a nice
It was a weird play. His foot got caught on his shoulder and, like, his knee got bent back, which is I've never seen it before. It's kind of unique, but yeah.
Well, with him out in the second half, we got some extended minutes, and it's certainly going to be something we're going to have to see Dylan Anderson, Brock Weiss throughout the season in those backup roles, kind of who's jockeying for some time. They got the entire second half. What did you like and maybe like to see some improvement out of those guys from yesterday?
Yeah, I like the way they competed. I like the way they tried to execute both offense and defensive schemes. I like the way they worked on the glass. We emphasize Gortat screening a lot, which is basically we roll after a pick and roll and seal their five men so we can have angle layups or angle posts. And they did an incredible job of that, giving our guys, particularly Javon, angles to the rim so he can lay it in. So they did a really good job there. We'll play some JJ Trainer there too once he gets healthy. I would expect a hefty dose there. Expect, you know, Fred King 25 minutes at the five or so, 5 to 10 minutes JJ, then fill the rest out with Dylan and Brock.
You mentioned Javon Jackson did just such a great job getting to the basket, going around his man, through his man, over his man, and finishing at the rim. And you talked last night in the post game just about, you know, the challenge to him this season to be more of an efficient scorer. Yep. It's pretty easy to be efficient when you're getting all your shots 2 feet from the basket.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, at UIC, he wasn't the most efficient player, but he had, you know, he could score the basketball, and we need somebody that can put the biscuit in the basket or whatnot. And he could do that, and he can give you that spark plug offensively. But good credit to his teammates, too, getting him open, finding him open shots, and our bigs did an incredible job, particularly Dylan Anderson, of screening and sealing guys so you get angle layups. And then Javon obviously saw those creases and was able to attack the rim and then make some open threes. So he was really, really good, and he was really effective offensively for us.
Roman Doman, 6'9", 19 points, 10 rebounds last night, and it felt kind of quiet, maybe as much the defensive end, going and just crashing the glass. And I think the part that is so just dynamic with him is he gets the rebound. He's not looking for a guard. He is going, and unlike most 6'9 guys bringing the ball up the floor, there's not that find a guard. He is awesome with the basketball. Yeah. What did you like out of Roman yesterday?
Well, when we recruited him, when we watched him in play, he reminded me a lot of my brother Mike when he was in high school. His ability to defensive rebound and push breaks, his ability to be a versatile player on the perimeter. Mike obviously developed into one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA. But Roman can go on that same trajectory. He has unique size, unique versatility, ability to guard multiple players on the court, ability, like you said, Jeff, be able to defensive rebound and push your break. When you can have a 6'9 guy, whatever level it is, defensive rebound and push breaks, you're already playing advantage basketball to some degree. So he presents a unique ability out there that most teams don't have, and we are very fortunate to have him. And the best thing about Roman, he's just scratching the surface.
He has not been a really above-average three-point shooter, I think, from all his international competitions. So I'm the summer kind of 20% guy and so on. But he hits three for you last night. And with his length, the stride, I mean, he can get to the basket with such ease from the wing. Where do you sort of see him this season? What you want to get from him from the perimeter?
I mean, he's a jack-of-all-trades. Like, that's another good thing about him. We can play him anywhere, really.
Yeah.
One through five. I mean, five in a pinch probably. But, you know, he can play multiple positions on the court. He's a unique player like that. I think he's a good shooter. I think if you look back at his shot selection, whether it was international or with his team and his club team in France, he took a lot of tough shots.
Yeah.
So we're hopefully getting him the right shots so he can be a really, really efficient three-point shooter and then be able to take his attack with his versatility at the rim and his athleticism at the rim and just his playmaking. He's our best passer probably too. So take some of those hard plays out of his game, whether it's shot selection or passing, refine his game, make it a little more efficient. But he's a really good passer and a really, really skilled player. And like I said, he's just scratched the surface. The kid has so much potential.
One thing I liked last night was in your pressure, which is not necessarily an attacking pressure, but it becomes attacking pressure when you have Roman out front and Matisse Corbon as well, which is 6'9", 6'6", and that length. It's just they were getting deflections early on. Just what do you like best about when those two are at sort of the head of the snake for your defense?
Yeah, we want to be up, and we want to be in our opponent's face for 40 minutes of a basketball game. We don't want to take unwarranted gambles, but we want to make our presence known for 40 minutes. At times we did that last night. At times we didn't. So we got to make sure we do that over 40. But when you have length and size at the top end of it, it just takes the team out of offense, and that's what we're ultimately trying to do. We're not trying to let our opponents be comfortable. Northern State was a little too comfortable at times last night, which I didn't like. But over a course of a game, we did a fairly good job. Our challenge to our team is, as we go through this journey, starting with Omaha, is making sure our team makes our opponents uncomfortable from the moment that the ball is tipped up.
He's Ryan Miller. We come back on the Racer Report Live. We will look ahead to Monday's season opener in Sioux Falls, South Dakota against the Mavericks of Omaha. We'll do that when we come back. We're live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub. This is the Racer Report Live. Welcome back to the Racer Report Live. We're at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. Jeff Bidwell joined by Murray State men's basketball coach Ryan Miller. It's almost time. It's been a long, probably a fast in a lot of ways, 7 months for you since you took over the job, but 6 days away now from finally throwing it up for real, your first official game as the head coach at Murray State. What's your belly feeling like right now?
No, it's been an awesome journey, obviously, coming from Creighton, being the associate coach there and having the success we've had there, and then having an unbelievable opportunity here that the administration here and the Board of Trustees have afforded me to or given me the ability to be the caretaker of this program, and it's rich, rich history. It's something that we don't take lightly, and something that we work every day to honor the past here with our play, with how hard we work. So it's right around the corner, and hopefully we go out there and play some Racer basketball when it opens up November 3rd.
Omaha, the defending Summit League champions, made the NCAA tournament last year. Beat Drake in a scrimmage in Des Moines, I guess on Friday afternoon. Tried to work some back channels to get a box score at least out of that one. But the word I heard from Des Moines was, in all capital letters, Omaha is physical. What do you think you can expect out of them on Monday?
Well, they got championship DNA. They won the Summit League regular season championship. They won the tournament championship. They played in the NCAA tournament last year. So obviously it's going to be a big-time challenge for us. They beat Drake, who I just saw on a report that came across my social media. That's being one of the teams that picked to win our league. So, it's going to be a physical game. They're going to have championship DNA. They're going to make the right plays. They're going to be well coached by Coach Crutchfield. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We didn't necessarily want to open up with a team that has championship DNA like that. But it is what it is. It'll be a really good challenge for our guys, and we'll be ready.
Is this where the Xavier exhibition helps a little bit, where you played a Big East team, and it wasn't just, hey, we're playing NAIAs and Division IIIs and whatever, that there's at least some acclimation to playing a really good team on Monday?
Yeah, talking to staff, we just wanted to make sure that through the exhibition process, we had one game maybe that, that we could get everybody in, get a good look at everybody so we can refine our rotations going into November 3rd, which was Northern State, and then we wanted to really, really challenge our guys with a real basketball game against a Big East opponent with Xavier, and just really pleased and lucky that Coach Pitino and his staff gave us the opportunity to play that game in Cincinnati. But it worked out perfectly. That's when we laid this baby out and what we want to do schedule-wise, they laid out perfect. Division II opponent at home to get in front of the home fans, be able to work different rotations, and then be able to play as close to a real game as you could at Xavier.
Do we expect J.J. Traynor to play on Monday?
I believe so. We're going to practice today, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to take off Thursday, practice Friday. Actually fly to Sioux Falls after practice Friday because the nonstop flight from Nashville to Sioux Falls is on Friday night. So we'll do that, and I hope to get him in practice. I mean, he's been in practice the last few days. We've limited his contact a little bit, so I expect him to be able to be a full participant by November 3rd.
Going home to South Dakota. Going to have a lot of friends and family there to celebrate you on your it's a big career day for you, coaching your first game, but I know you want to be celebrating a big win at the end, but what's it going to be like going home?
No, it's going to be amazing, obviously, when you I come from a basketball family in South Dakota, and you know, basketball has been a huge part of my life. I played professionally overseas, and coached 22 years Division I basketball, and it's the round balls took me places that you never would think, and to be able to go back home and share an experience of being a first-time head coach in Division I and at a place with a rich history and rich tradition like Murray State. It's gonna be an honor to celebrate with friends and family. A bunch of people from Omaha are coming to the game. A bunch of great fans are coming to the game too. So it should be an exciting deal for our guys. We should have a lively fan base there. So a little bit with playing home away from home. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Ryan Miller, head coach of the Racers, opening up Monday in Sioux Falls, South Dakota against Omaha. Stay healthy this week. Get healthy this week. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate
it. All right. There is Ryan Miller. We come back. We'll talk with Murray State football coach Jody Wright. We'll do that when we come back. You are listening to the Racer Report Live. Welcome back to the Racer Report Live. We're at the Hop Hound Brew Pub in Murray. Jeff Bidwell joined now by Murray State head football coach Jody Wright, 51-17, Saturday at Youngstown State. A little shake of the head there. I know that we have talked with you after every game this year, and Saturday, at least from up in the press box, I just felt maybe that was maybe the most frustrated after any game we've had so far this year.
Yeah, you know, I was frustrated after the game and probably got on the guys a little hard, but sometimes we need to hear hard truths. But, you know, I do think we did have some bright spots after watching the film, and, you know, you felt like it glanced on the field, but then the film kind of verified what you felt. And, you know, we had a lot of freshmen, Jake Darby, A.J. Shadia playing on the offensive line, and thought they did some really good stuff for true freshmen. Had Spencer Kahn, Clayton Ingram, some guys on defense, true freshmen that played some really good football as well. But, you know, I felt like that was the first time all year we did not play with a lot of discipline, a lot of, you know, too many penalties. I believe we had 11 penalties, and a lot of them were pre-snap penalties, false starts, misalignments, things like that, and had some unforced errors that running wrong routes were opposed to, you know, some things that we got to clean up. And, you know, it starts with us as coaches, so we got to, you know, make sure that stuff doesn't happen, and told the players, you know, we got to fix that this week in practice, and we're not good enough right now, and to have those unforced errors, so disappointing in that area.
There are reasons and there are excuses. You guys have been one of the least penalized teams really in the country all season. The conference, a total of 9 penalties in the first 3 games. You get 11 on Saturday. As we talked about going in, a lot of very young guys, inexperienced guys on the offensive line, which lead to those pre-snap penalties. But just, you know, some personal fouls, some extracurricular stuff. It just, do you sense those things brewing at times during the week, or did that catch you off guard?
Yeah.
Like, fellas, what's going on out here?
It kind of caught me off guard. You know, wondering, especially the players that did it, sometimes our most disciplined guys. But, you know, we kind of you know, told them, hey, we got to learn. You got to keep your cool, composure. And a lot of times it's the second guy. Somebody may push you or do something, and, you know, but they're always going to get the guy that retaliates, especially if you do it in the middle of the field in front of everybody. So we got to be smarter there. But, you know, appreciate the effort and fight from some guys. But, you know, like I said, we had too many unforced errors. We had a kickoff return. We had, you know, gave up a touchdown and a coverage we shouldn't have gave up a touchdown in. And, you know, some things like that, you know, some players played some really good games, you know, but some kind of – when we had some bad, it was bad. And but we got to build on it. We got to get our run game going. And like I said, the offensive line, we had some makeshift stuff, some guys that literally got hurt during the middle of practice this past week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it went like we had the younger guys to get all those reps Tuesday, Wednesday, and pads. So they were kind of getting a glorified some – light practice on Thursday, and hey, walk through Friday and let's go play. But you know, that's everybody's dealing with injuries, I know, and you know, and we're no different. So we got to keep working and improve. And you know, these younger players are going to keep growing, and we've got a great opponent coming in Southern Illinois this week.
Bo Brungard, the quarterback for Illinois State, coming into our matchup, was the national player of the week. It set a program record with. They believed to be the first FCS quarterback ever with 300 through the air and 200 on the ground in the same game. You guys did a good job on the ground and able to keep him contained, scored, but, you know, there was no big chunk plays. But felt like from when we talked ahead of time, he's like, boy, if he's going to beat us with his arm, we'll take that. But, boy, he beat you with his arm. He was spectacular.
Yeah, going in, he's one of those guys, hey, it's kind of like a basketball player. He's going to beat us shooting a three or beat us driving, ducking on us. And we chose to emphasize trying to stop the run game with him and did a pretty good job with our rush trying to cage him in. But, like I said, he hit his main target 7 on 7 times. And you know, sometimes we felt like, we had guys right there or should have been there to make a play, and we got to continue working on that. But give him credit. He's, been the Walter Payton Award winner, and definitely one of the best quarterbacks we faced this year, and he's a little winner. And we definitely made his life probably easier than we should have, but he did make a lot of plays. He's a heck of a football player, and like I said, he can beat you with his arm, his legs, and his brain, and he gave us a little dose of all three Saturday.
We saw a little more of Baxter Wright than we have seen in the past, and he came in the second half and gave you guys a little bit of a spark. Goes 8 for 9 through the air for 90 yards through a touchdown, ended up being your leading rusher with 7 carries. It really felt like that was his strength in a lot of ways. I feel like as he develops, the throwing's almost a bonus right now, but he really did spark you guys. What did you like out of Baxter, and how much more might we see of him this week?
You know, Baxter did some good stuff, and he's going to continue to play. And, you know, I thought, he came in there. He's got a really good quick release and did some good things with RPOs and spitting the ball out on some quick screens and even some intermediate stuff. And some guys did a good job catching runs with it. But, he got the ball out quick, accurate, and did a good job running the ball as well. And, you know, I thought Jim, played a pretty clean game. You know, I think Baxter had a run or two. I know Reed, he would like to get back. And Jim, there's 3 or 4 plays I know he'd like to get back. We had some deep throws, that were very close. Sometimes we gotta help the quarterbacks out with protection and better routes to get open, because we didn't separate like we needed to at times. And sometimes we ran wrong routes. And, we got to keep trying to get those guys in the best position so they can be successful. But it was definitely a good spark for Baxter. And, I think Jim played better and is getting even more healthy. So we're going to continue to play those guys. And even Caleb Bailey got in there a few snaps in the package. So we're going to continue to, possibly play him even more this week with some things. But, got confidence in all three. And we challenged our offense. The other quarterbacks have got to improve their play. And we've got to improve our play around them. And we've got to – I thought our running backs ran the ball hard. We didn't have sometimes the best, probably holes or they had to make some on their own. But I did think Juwan and Jordan and Tyrell did some good stuff in the run game. So we got to build off that and improve our play all the way around.
Well, the next chance to pick up that win will be Saturday homecoming, 4 p.m. against Southern Illinois. We'll talk about the Salukis when we come back with head coach Jody Wright. We're live at the Hot Pound Brewpub in Murray. This is the Racer Report Live. Welcome back to the Racer Report Live. Jeff Bidwell joined by Murray State head football coach Jody Wright. We're live at the Hot Pound Brewpub in Murray. Boy, it was the national – it was the game of the week, certainly in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, but you could make that argument maybe in all of college football. South Dakota State, number 2, hosting number 1 North Dakota State. The Bison got the win to remain unbeaten on the season. I know we were flying home, but did you get a chance to see that? It ended up being 38-7. North Dakota State, they are the real deal again this year.
Yeah, they are. And, I knew South Dakota State, I'd like to say maybe because we were a little banged and bruised from the game. I don't know. But I know they cut it 21-7 there, but I do know they did have a couple of injuries. And like I said, the quarterback got banged up in our game, their starting quarterback. But, I know the Bison was rolling pretty good, and I wouldn't be surprised to see both of those square off again, maybe in the Final Four scenario or even – worse. And that's one thing about this conference. I think, Youngstown State, with the way they're playing, North Dakota, South Dakota, they've got enough weapons. And, Illinois State.
I mean, Southern Illinois.
Illinois is definitely the team we're playing in. They're all top 20 teams for a reason, and probably top 10 teams. And, sometimes you eat your own playing in the conference, a little bit like SEC and Big Ten. But, I think these teams are all top 10 teams and national championship caliber.
Well, speaking of the Salukis coming in, the Racer fans will see a familiar face, of course. Former Murray State quarterback DJ Williams has really been one of the more dynamic players in the country this year. 1,800 yards through the air, leads the Salukis on the ground as well with a total 25 overall touchdowns. So what do we expect out of DJ? Didn't see him last year as they had the fifth-string guy playing last season. But no. we're not going to talk about last year at all with that. But I know you probably didn't see DJ a couple years ago, but what is he doing now that stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, he's getting the ball out quick and accurate, and he's definitely making plays with his legs and his arms and his brain. So, you know, he's got some good weapons around him. They got some really big receivers and talented running back, and you know, they got speed at receiver, a lot of playmakers, and he's running the show and running it well. So, Coach Hill does a great job there, a really good offensive coach, so we're going to have our hands full. Defensively, you know, they are Shug Walker that played here is all over the field making plays, you know, and they got a very talented defense front. They get after you. So we're going to have they're four down, but they're multiple and some blitz stuff they do, so we're going to have to come up with some ways to the young offensive line to get these guys blocked up and give ourselves a chance.
Special teams has been something that's been really good for you all year. And you give up the kickoff return for the touchdown on Saturday to Youngstown State. Southern Illinois took a punt return back for the first time in 20 years last weekend against Northern Iowa. Just overall, when, okay, we had a rough week, hey, they're doing great there. Yep. Just had a home run play there. How do you dial that thing back in to get it back to center where you guys were so good really all season?
And we're going to go back even today. We're going to walk through some basic stuff and try to get there. And, you know, we've had pretty good coverage all year. And you know, a young man, a freshman, kind of jumped inside and gave up his leverage. But, you know, he's a young player, and he's played really well for us this year. And he's going to, you know, I don't think he'll make that mistake again. And, you know, he's being aggressive trying to make a play.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. But, you know, we also got to make sure our assignments, because, you know, when you play good returners, they can see when there's nobody's got contained here, or that contained players jumped inside trying to make a player misread something. So, you know, credit to them. They executed it. And, you know, and I appreciate the effort of our guys. And we got to do a better job as coaches to make sure that doesn't happen again. And keep emphasizing things like that are very important, especially in kickoff returns, and we can't have that happen this week.
Saturday afternoon, Stewart Stadium, homecoming. It will be a great crowd, a great scene. Forecast 61 degrees. It'll be a great afternoon for football, and hopefully we'll give all that great crowd at Stewart Stadium something to cheer about on Saturday.
Coach. Yeah, we're going to need everybody out there, and we need to pack the stadium out. Very excited. Homecoming's a very special place here of all our alumni and support, and you know, we got great fans that support all our athletic programs, and it means the world to football and so many other sports. So we're going to need everybody out there cheering loud, and I know Southern always will probably bring a good crowd. And like I said, it's a chance, another great opportunity to face a top 20 team, and we're going to need to play our best and appreciate everybody coming out and bring friends.
There you go. Jody Wright, thank you. There is head coach Jody Wright. We come back on the Racer Report Live. We'll talk with Murray State women's basketball coach Rochelle Turner. We'll do that when we come back. We're live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. This is the Racer Report Live. Welcome back to the Racer Report Live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. Jeff Bidwell joined by Murray State women's basketball coach Rochelle Turner. Yesterday, a fun day at the CFSB Center. Not only did the men's basketball team win an exhibition game, all kind of part of Racer Mania, the Racer Nation able to come out and get their picture signed, or their schedule poster signed, and pictures with all the players and meet all the new faces. And it's quite a lineup there on the concourse, Coach. A lot of folks happy to see the champs back in the house.
Yeah, I thought Racer Nation really showed out at Racer Mania, and it made the girls feel really good to have that long a line. And some of them had some cramps in their elbows from signing so many autographs. But, you know, that's what this place is about. And, you know, some of our transfers and freshmen were like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool, because that's not what they came from. So just really proud of our fans and the event that we had. And then obviously the men go out and play extremely well and got everybody excited. So it was a good day.
it's tough to be loved sometimes, you know. Those cramps are, that's just part of the process. Last week you had your first double secret probation scrimmage against an unknown opponent, but what would you say overall, your feelings coming out of it? And I know we talked yesterday, maybe your feelings and maybe the cold hard facts were on polar opposite ends of things, but we'll start with your feelings first.
Yeah, the feelings were that it was like watching paint dry at times, and just, you know, spent a lot of the time upset and wondering why we weren't more excited about things, and, you know, just some different things, just trying to get used to the different chemistry and the different lineups. And, you know, I'd made the shifts out a couple weeks ago and said this is what we're going to do regardless of the situation, so we made sure everybody got to play. But at the end of the night, they hand me the stat sheet and I'm like, okay, wow. I mean, I didn't even realize we played as well as we did, shot the ball as well as we did, won every statistical category. So feelings and facts were definitely not on the same page that night.
Sometimes it's better when the facts are better than the feelings. So then maybe if it was inverted, you'd have been really hot when that thing was over. Your guards, you have brought in size, more length on the wings, but certainly the foundational piece of this team is still the mini trio there with Bradley Pena, your senior, and your two all-league guards in Hallie Polk and Haven Ford. For Riley, it's her last rodeo. She knows that. The other two, they are now upperclassmen. How have you seen them, especially with the departure of the Caitlin Youngs and the Ava Learns? And Trinity White and Jenna Walker and just those kids that have been there with you for so long, how have they handled the leadership role so far?
Well, I put a lot of pressure on them. You know, I talked to them about building their own legacy. And, you know, last year's last year. It's in the past. So everything they do from this point forward has their name on it. And so, you know, what do you want to be about? What do you want to be known for? Do you want to prove people wrong that think you can't win one without Caitlin? You know, what do you want to do? So you're always challenging them every step of the way. But they're answering the challenge. They work hard. We have a point system within our team, and when your top players are at the top of the point system and workouts and getting shots up and all the things that make a complete player, you know, you don't have to lead verbally all the time. You can lead by example, and I think those kids do a good job of that.
I don't know, it was this summer or last summer we talked about, there's points with that point system that you had to tell the kid, stop. Like, have you had to go through that all with the guys or the ladies this year?
Yeah, we told them once practice started, we limited it to, you know, extra shooting workout a day, just maybe a couple of extra workouts on the legs a week, because they're competitive. So
right.
They'll compete within each other. They're in teams, so they'll compete within the teams, and sometimes they overdo it a little bit, so you kind of have to watch it. We also have two different shooting segments that we do each week with our green light shooting. So that just adds as well. So we try to temper that. You know, Greg Jocelyn, our trainer, does a good job of kind of saying, hey, we, you know, need to back off this kid a little bit this week. Make them do some free throws instead
right.
of maybe a workout.
With those three and all being, you know, 5'5 and under, and maybe generous in some departments at 5'5, as fantastic as they are offensively, just – playing this thing out a little bit, and I don't remember many times they were on the floor together at the same time, but now that you have recruited so much more size on the wings, do you foresee playing the three of them together, or is it more there's always going to be two of them on the floor type of deal?
They'll definitely play together at times, and I'd say two of them will be on the floor the majority of the time. But, you know, we talked about one of the things that could hinder us and keep us from reaching beyond our ceiling is rebounding. So our guards have got to rebound, and that's one thing I've been really challenging Haven on. She's one of our best rebounders, even at her size. So it's going to be a gang rebounding type effort this year. But we've really got some good rebounding from Charnice and Kesslin and Ellery and some of those other kids. But it's going to take that. And there's going to be a lot of mismatches the way we play defense. And I know people are going to be asking again, why are you giving up that layup in the paint? And why are you having Briley guard their post player? But again, I want to remind everybody, we exchange twos for threes, and twos add up a lot slower than threes. So there'll be some times where we are taken advantage of, for sure, with having those three Smurfs on the floor at the same time. But offensively, I think they're going to bring a little bit more than maybe they give up.
Anybody wants to give you grief, you just have to look up. Just look up. See that little banner hanging from the rafters? Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. She is Rochelle Turner, Murray State women's basketball coach. We'll come back. We'll start looking ahead to next Monday's exhibition against Trevecca. We'll do that when we come back. We're live at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. This is the Racer Report. Welcome back to the Racer Report live. We're at the Hot Pound Brew Pub in Murray. Jeff Bidwell and Murray State Women's Basketball Coach Rochelle Turner. The preseason poll came out last week. We only, for whatever reason, the conference not giving us the full 11, only gave us the four, I believe, with first place votes. And the Racers coming in number two in the preseason poll behind Belmont. And we sort of joked last week that doesn't hurt your feelings really one bit to be let somebody else handle taking all the daggers at the top of that pile, right?
Exactly. I mean, you use it, you know, obviously as bulletin board material, but realistically, you know, Belmont is stacked. They're going to be very, very good. It did not surprise me at all that they were picked number one preseason, but, you know, it just gives you things to work towards and, you know, gives you back that prove them wrong mentality that we used all last year to motivate our players to be the best that they could be. So anytime, especially in women's basketball at the mid-major level, if you're 1-2 with Belmont, that's not a bad deal. We have a lot of respect for them and that program. That's a hill we've been trying to climb for a long time and finally broke the wall down last year. So we know every single year they're going to be a team that we have to go through if we want to win a championship. So this year's no different.
Kesslyn Sechrist, the transfer in from Indiana State, played on a 4-win Sycamore team last year, and some parallels to Hallie Polk 2 years ago, coming from a Bradley team that only won a couple of games. And how much of an adjustment is it for a young lady to come into your program from a place that, you know, they may have had good numbers and a team that didn't win very much, and now they come here and it's like the standard of what is expected, and not only the standard, because I'm, you know, Coach Pop and Coach Mitchell have their standards, but it's like the results are so different here, and at least in the recent past, that it's different, and maybe the expectations and things are just a little bit different for them.
Yeah, I definitely think it is, and you know, you talk to them about the differences, and you know, they Kesslyn jokes about like everything you do has a purpose. There's never a drill. There's never anything that you do without a purpose. Everything is so organized. I'm not used to all the organization. And I think things, you know, have been a little bit difficult for her because we do make a lot of reads on offense. We do make a lot of reads and decision-making on defense. But, you know, Kesslyn holds herself to a high standard. She's a nursing major. So, you know, she holds herself to that standard academically. She holds herself to that standard athletically. And I think the hardest thing for me to get her to understand is I'm being serious when I say shoot the basketball. You know, you are not shooting it enough. You're not being aggressive enough offensively. And I finally got her attention in the scrimmage the other night, and she showed what she's capable of doing. And I think once she gets more comfortable with understanding the expectation of what I want from her, what we need from her, the more she plays with these other players. Said all along, we're a work in progress, just because when you put this many new players and this many old players together, you got to figure each other out. But she's definitely has a high IQ. She has a high motor, and I expect big things from her this season.
I was in practice last week, one of those moments where she caught the ball at the free throw line and just looked at the basket for a second and then passed, and practice was stopped. And there was a stern conversation about, please shoot the ball. And I'm glad
I think
to hear
that's exactly what I said.
I think that's exactly.
Please shoot the ball.
Please shoot the ball. Yeah. Cam Hoover, one of the freshmen from last year who got hurt right when things got going. It's funny looking out. I say funny. You look out there and you just see knee braces all over the place with Cam and Sharnice and Destiny Thomas. But Cam looks like she is 100% healthy and going. And how have you seen her adapting and ready to make an impact for you now? Because I know you were so excited about her 15 months ago.
Yeah, physically she's there. She's rebounding the ball extremely well. I just think it's mentally getting over the she's a freshman. I mean, she didn't play practice with us at all because she got hurt so early last summer. So she's kind of going through the freshman lumps more so mentally, but physically she's ready. And I think every week that she gets more practice and more reps under her belt, the more she's getting more acclimated to being ready to play at this speed and those type of things. So we're pleasantly happy with her progress thus far.
Monday, it is Trevecca coming in, your final under the lights dress rehearsal before the opener next Friday against Southern Indiana on the road. Trevecca's going to be overmatched. We know that. I'm assuming it's just all about not only execution, but perfect execution on that stage.
Yeah, it has to be pretty much about us because they have a brand new coach, a new roster. And they're not playing any other games before us, so we're not going to know a whole lot about them. Their head coach was an associate head coach at a Division I school last year that actually took over and was the interim head coach throughout the year. So, you know, Coach Novak's very well known, has a great pedigree, so I'm sure he'll bring a different look and a different taste to what Trevec is used to. But the exhibition games are about you. You know, we're going to have a shift, and we're going to play the shift, and we're going to get kids opportunities. We're going to put different lineups together. And we're not going to worry about as more about the results as we are the process. Now, obviously, you want to go out because you want to make a good impression the first time you're in front of the fans. But, you know, we just know that we have a lot of work to do and things that we need to work on. And we're going to focus on that more than anything Monday night.
Big doubleheader basketball next Monday. The Racer men playing at 12:30 in South Dakota and right here in Murray, Kentucky. The Racer women, 7 o'clock against Trevec at the CFSB Center. Admission, as always, is free. We'll see you then. Rochelle Turner, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, there is Coach Turner. We come back, we will wrap things up here at the Hot Pound Brew Pub. You're listening to the Racer Report Live. Wrapping things up on the Racer Report Live. Jeff Bidwell here at the Hot Pound Brew Pub. Programming note, next week, the Racer Report Live will likely air on Tuesday due to the men and the women's basketball teams both playing on Monday. Please follow all the social media channels for Murray State Athletics. We'll have that for you. We believe it will be Tuesday, and we'll do the recording per usual at 12 o'clock here at the Hot Pound Brew Pub, and then the show will air at 6 p.m. on Froggy 103.7, and you can also find it at Podcast Central on GoRacers.com. Again, this weekend, 4 p.m., football homecoming at Stewart Stadium. The Racers will take on the Salukis of Southern Illinois, and then after the game, a drone show presented by CFSB. Hope you'll be able to come out to the game and stick around for that drone show. And then, of course, we've got basketball on Monday. The men opening up at the Field of 68 opening day marathon in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, taking on the Mavericks of Omaha. That's 12:30 afternoon tip time. That game will be streamed on the Field of 68 social media channels on X and on YouTube. And then at 7 o'clock on Monday night, the Racer women will take on Trevec in their final exhibition game, 7 o'clock at the CFSB Center. All right, that does it for today's episode. Thanks to Ryan Miller, Jody Wright, and Rochelle Turner for being with us. Thanks to you all for listening as well. We'll see you next week right here on the Racer Report Live.